Just good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Scott.
How are you today?
I'm doing fine. We're back at it.
Yes, we are. It's what a difference a week makes. Not that y'all had your feet up necessarily, but you thought redistricting would be the only focus. And since then, two more things have added in the special session.
I got committee hearings today and tomorrow, and we got a floor session this afternoon. So
remind our listeners, if you will, what your view is on, first of all, transportation, because the governor has now put that into special session.
Right. Well, Scott, people need to realize, and I do think realize, that Texas is a very fast-growing state and has critical infrastructure needs, water, which we addressed during the session, and transportation being the two foremost in my mind. And some of the proposals, there's never really been a great way to move forward on transportation because no one likes a new fee or new tax, and I personally don't like more bond debt, more passing it on to future generations or new toll roads. So we need to find a reliable source of funding for transportation, and I think the most appropriate way is a kind of a pay-as-you-go method that doesn't include any of the fees or taxes or more bond debt.
So am I hearing you say that you're in favor of the idea that Senator Williams and Nichols has, and that is that you actually direct money that might have gone into the rainy day fund into transportation?
Well, I think it's something that we should discuss, and they'll be doing so in the Finance Committee today. It's a reallocation of an existing tax, an oil and gas severance tax, prior to when that tax gets to the rainy day fund. Now, I certainly believe that we should keep an adequate balance in our rainy day fund to make sure that we have the highest credit, and we do, and to prepare for any future emergencies, natural disasters, or emergencies that are put forth by our federal government or the stock market. But you know, there's a certain amount of money that above that amount that should be utilized for critical infrastructure needs, because longer term we're going to be paying for it one way or the other. And I don't want to raise fees. I don't want to raise taxes. And I certainly don't want to pass it on to our future generations in more bond debt.
Certainly. The other thing that the governor decided that he wanted to add to this special session had to do with abortion issues. This mm-hmm. is something certainly that the lieutenant governor had spoken to and really before the session was over, hoped that the governor would plug that in. Explain to our listeners how you feel about the idea of abortion legislation and what you think are the brackets that should be in place there.
Right. Well, I'd call it pro-life legislation. And, you know, this is an important issue to many constituents, to many Texans, to many individuals in the district. And to me personally, I'm obviously a pro-life individual and believe that Governor Perry was right to put this on the call.
Now, one of the other things that it was interesting, I saw over the weekend, the Wall Street Journal decided they wanted to express an opinion on the governor signing the Texas state budget. I thought that was unusual. They seem to think that Texas is heading the way of California.
No, we are not heading the way of California. We passed a budget that was balanced, that did not raise taxes, that prioritized and funded critical needs of the state of Texas, that did not draw down from the rainy day fund to the point where it was inappropriate in my mind. And so I think our budget was sound and a step forward for the state of Texas.
And, of course, politics has to enter into this. I saw the Austin American-Statesman reported Monday night that the governor is threatening to veto $7.5 million in the state budget for the public integrity mm-hmm. unit. Now, that's overseen by the Travis County DA,
right,
Rosemary Lindbergh, and people may know that she was arrested on April the 13th for DWI.
Right, and there's new allegations in reference to some of her that night's activities too, I believe, coming out in the paper today.
So now, with that in mind, the unit investigates all sorts of things, and one of the things that they're looking at, though, is a complaint that's filed against Progress Texas PAC, and they were funding the Cancer Research Center to some extent. Is this a way to shut down that investigation having to do with the problems that CPRIT had?
No, I think this has to do with the leadership of the Public Integrity Unit. You know, I support Governor Perry's stance on that. What she showed by her actions that night are reprehensible, and I believe that there should be some aspect that she should pay for. And you know, CPRIT has its own issues, and we addressed that during this last session. And I think this is a secondary issue, trying to take the eye off the ball of trying to get Ms. Lindbergh from leading the Public Integrity Unit.
Charles Huertner joining us this morning from Austin. So people know you were a co-sponsor of Senate Bill 149, which I believe
right.
is on the governor's desk. Is that right?
That's right. That's the CPRIT reform bill. And for those listeners that aren't familiar with it, that's the Cancer Prevention Research Institute of Texas. And that institute came under significant consternation and concern about the way it was going about its business, and the bill spoke to enhancing the checks and balances and accountability and transparency so that CEPR can continue to move forward with the trust of Texans.
The Texas prison system has announced that they're going to close two for-profit prisons.
Right, that's right.
Obviously, that's under your...
Mineral Wells and Dawson.
Sure, that's under your purview of being on criminal justice. So give me your thoughts about that. Is that the beginning of a trend here in Texas? But also the thing that I found interesting in the article was they were saying that the prison population is actually going down in Texas.
That's right.
So tell me, how are we, with more people moving to Texas all the time, I would think that statistically that means more people that might do criminally wrong things. How is it that we have a population in the prisons that's going down while our population is growing 1,000 people a day?
Well, I think there's been some discussion and move forward in alternatives to incarceration, especially for nonviolent offenders, and restoration of the offender to get them out of jail and to allow them to be... on parole and be productive citizens. And so that's, I think, the reason our prison population has gone down. We have somewhere about 149,000 individuals incarcerated, but we have 162,000 beds. And, yeah, I don't think that's appropriate. I think we should be have a few less beds, and that would require closing some prisons.
Now, the state will maintain, in other words, they will hold the facilities, they just won't be operated as prisons
that's
at
right.
this time?
Yeah, that's my understanding. Of course, we could probably sell them, too. But
sure. But it would be more cost-effective to hold on, right, as opposed to build new ones?
You know, I don't have an answer for that.
And are we seeing a trend, then? I don't know how many for-profit facilities we have in the state of Texas, but are we seeing a trend that
are seeing a trend in overall in criminal justice to finding alternatives to incarceration for, again, nonviolent offenders. If they are violent offenders, repeat offenders, I'm all for putting them in jail and throwing away the key. But I think there is a role for the state to restore that offender so they can, again, become productive members of society and citizens and taxpayers.
Sure. And finally, a personal overview of what you said you had committee today. What have you got that's on your agenda between now and when
we're
talking next
week? Well, we have a criminal justice meeting this afternoon. We have a session meeting this afternoon. And then tomorrow we have the Health and Human Services Committee that will be hearing a number of those pro-life measures and bills.
And any anticipated action that you can tell us about this morning?
I think we'll be voting out some of the bills that are being put forth in criminal justice. I'm not for sure exactly what's going to be coming on the floor. I think it's going to be a relatively short session today.
I got you. All right. Well, we'll look forward to talking to you next week then.
Thank you, Scott.
All right. Thank you, Senator.